During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Our thanks to David Carr joining us. I've always thought David Carr did a good job on NFL Network and seemed like a pretty down-to-earth guy, but damn, that guy was fun to talk to.
Yeah, you know? I know.
I mean, he was a lot of fun, you know.
And he, it's like he could have gone on a while if I mean, and not really had any trouble with it. So that's terrific.
He was great. So thanks to David Carr from the NFL Network. We're at the American Century Championships here in Lake Tahoe. I got a lot coming your way. I don't know, Dwight Freeney might end up being tomorrow because that was kind of our window there where we were thinking we could talk to Dwight Freeney. So either later today or tomorrow, we'll talk to Dwight Freeney. We got a lot coming your way here in the program. Royals are now complete today. They get the loss.
Yeah.
5-2.
Yeah.
I was like, did they win 7-4 again?
Oh, no.
Like, no, that's yesterday's box score I pulled up to have.
Adam Royals almost called it perfectly.
In that what? What I forgot
at,
what he said.
At 2-0, he said, "So, what's your score?" I'm saying 5-3 Houston. I'm like, "Okay." And then bang, Jose Altuve, two-run Jimmy John. Yordan Alvarez follows with a solo shot. And the Astros tacked on a couple in the eighth to make it 5-2, and it's like pretty close.
And what else occurred?
Justin Verlander with another win. That's number 11 on the year as he creeps closer to his eventual total of 286.
He's at least making you nervous.
Yes, I said he's the first guy who's ever made me think about it.
And you know what should really make you even more nervous? The fact that he's going to pitch to the Royals 32 more times this year.
Man, at this point, it doesn't seem like it even matters who he pitches against.
Just to put into context, Justin Verlander's win moves him out of a tie with Whitey Ford and ties him now with Wade Hoyt and Clark Griffith. That doesn't put a lot of context to it because I don't know who either one of those guys are.
I think
so. Clark
Griffith,
they were old guys.
Yeah, that the same Griffith that was named had the park in Washington named after him with the Senators played. It could be. Maybe it's different Clark Griffith, but
well, being that he's born in 1869 in Clear Creek, Missouri, and died in 1955 at the age of 85 in Washington D.C., I think you nailed it, Curtis.
Probably so.
But he played most of his career with the Cubs. Last 3 years at age 42, 43, and 44 in Washington. Career started in 1891. So, and then Wade Hoyt, who likewise was born in 1899. He has tied Wade Hoyt, whose career would go from age 18 to 38, wrapping up in 1938 with the Brooklyn Dodgers. But Justin Verlander gets the win today. So he does creep closer to 300, so a long way to go before Curtis has to pay out. 237 wins on his career today, handling business against the Kansas City Royals. And easier to pitch when you're behind, when you know you got a great lineup behind you. I mean, I will say that's one thing. Like, Chris Bubich at 2-0 is probably still thinking he's got to be a surgeon to get there. Not making any excuses for him, but on the day, Verlander, 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, only 1 earned, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. Chris Bubich, on the other hand, did have one of his better strikeout days, 5 Ks and 5 1/3. The rest of the line, not so pretty. 4 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned, 6 walks, 5 strikeouts. He gives up 2 home runs on the day. They don't consistently throw strikes.
No.
Right? That's the problem. They don't consistently throw strikes.
Haven't for a while. And it seems like every time you look up, if they're in the fifth inning, they're in the 90s. I mean, someone on Twitter reached out to me and goes, did you have the fifth inning for the Royals to crap their pants? And I said, everyone should have the fifth inning for the Royals to crap their pants. Are you kidding me? That should be that when it happens. By the way, looking at
the official crap pants inning of the Kansas City Royals, the fifth, brought to you by Depends.
The slam inning is the sixth. It's time for the Royals crap your pants inning, brought to you by Oops, I Crap My Pants.
Yeah.
Just looking at Verlander as an Astro, he is now 54-18 since joining them late in the 2017 season. How about the 11.4 Ks per nine to 1.6 walks per nine? A nice, tidy 7.1 to 1 strikeout to walk ratio.
You know, I know everybody says, well, just throw strikes, just throw strikes. And I agree, and the Royals are, young pitchers are not doing a good enough job of it. But, you know, part of that comes with stuff and knowing you can put the baseball where you want to put it. And I am more and more beginning to believe my theory that, you know, there are a few savants, Zach Greinke was one of them, that can come up and really paint the corners and have the kind of command they want with pitches that have velocity and movement. But there's not many. For a lot of guys, it's come blow people away, and then they learn. You need X number of innings, X number of pitches to finally get to that point to where you can do what you need to do with the baseball, that you don't have to throw 96 miles an hour to get somebody out. That's one of the things that I think is really important to note. So, you know, that's great. You know, maybe it will happen here shortly. Maybe it won't. That's the big question that I have for the Royals. Like, are these guys, do they not have the kind of stuff to blow people away? And are they not going to get the innings to get to where they can paint? Right? I think that's the dilemma with pitchers, right?
Yep. It's the balancing act for every one of these guys. You know, it's the broader idea of, it's hard to get experience unless someone will hire you, and it's hard to get hired if you don't have experience. That's that little back and forth put in a pitching context. I mean, but at some point, guys figure. I mean, that's any pitcher for any organization would be in that box at the beginning of their career. At some point, guys figure it out who become good pitchers. But that just has not happened with to any level with anyone, any young pitcher for the Royals.
Yep, you're right. Let's take a break. We're going to talk to Jonathan Thomas, the president and CEO of American Century, going to sit down with us. Coming up next here in the program, we're live at the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Check it out on Golf Channel Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's on NBC. It's the American Century Championships, Sports Radio 810 WHB, broadcasting live here in Tahoe. Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, as we are live at one of the most beautiful places on earth, Lake Tahoe, Nevada/California. We're just a stone's throw from the line. In fact, as we look across the lake, we're looking over to California. Just a spectacular place. We're back for the first time. Two tournaments we missed 3 years ago, the last time we were here, the American Century Championships. Incredible golf tournament. All the celebrities, Friday, you can catch it on the Golf Network, Saturday and Sunday. It'll be on NBC. And with us now, the president and CEO of American Century, the great Kansas City company that puts this tournament on, Jonathan Thomas, is with us. How are you?
Soren, I am fantastic. Thank you for having us on today. And thanks for being out here. We're thrilled that you guys are here again.
You know, it's just funny to hear you thank us. Like, right, it is a privilege for us to come out here. Just, if I just sat here in a lawn chair for 3 days and looked out, I would be, hey, thanks for letting me come sit here and look at this beautiful scenery. I mean, that in and of itself is enough. Not to mention the festivities and the show that is put on by American Century. And, you know, I can tell you, I've said, and I know you've had the tournament the last 2 years, but we haven't been able to be out here.
Right.
And so it's great. And I think I told you this before, you know, we knew it was a great deal, but when it's taken from you, you're like, wow, that really hurts. But I told the folks at NBC, I said, thank you very much for going ahead and putting this tournament on, because especially 2 years ago when we were really in the heart of the pandemic, having a little bit of normalcy and then just getting to see this beautiful backdrop and see people be able to do real things was a really uplifting thing. Next year, you got a little bit closer to normal, and this year we're, you know, not quite 100%. I know there's still precautions being taken, but getting a lot closer. We've got fans out here. You've got clients out here. But it really was important. I believe that even more in talking with some of the guys that play in this tournament, how much it meant to them to have that. And did you feel that sense of responsibility while you were doing it?
Yeah, it's funny you should bring that up. I would say, so a couple of things. The way we have this set up, and I'll go back to your first comment, being in the lawn chair. I wish you guys on the radio could see where Soren sits. He has me facing the back of a tent.
Yes.
And he's looking out over this beautiful lake, and thank God he has mirrored sunglasses on, because at least I get a good view here. But, yeah, the number one thing I hear, actually, Soren, is thanks for following this through. I mean, even though we didn't have fans at all last year, or 2 years ago, and like half fans last year, the celebrities love the energy that comes from the audience. It's interesting. They're used to performing for crowds They draw upon that energy. This year, I was really worried, since this is the 4th of July week, that we were going to have a low uptake rate. And so we send our invites out to the celebrities in waves. And we sent the same number out this year that we always send out for the first set of invitations that go out. And just in the first wave, we were oversubscribed.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and what it really spoke to is.
So, you know how the airlines feel.
Yeah. Yeah. The only difference is I didn't sell all the seats.
Right.
No, when we were full, we cut it off.
Yes. Right?
There's actually a spot for them when they show up to the golf course. But no, so complete interest. And the number one thing is they want to get back to normal. They want to get out and see their friends. They want to get out and experience life again. And so, and the camaraderie, you can feel it here. I mean, they're legends in both entertainment and in sports. And their peers are here, their competitors are here, their idols are here. And the hugging that goes on and the love that we've created, and I'll call it a very family atmosphere, is a big part of the reason everybody keeps coming back.
Yeah, and it is. And you see some of the guys bring, you know, kids and, you know, the whole family. And you got a family affair going to be playing with David and Derek Carr. We just spoke to David Carr.
Yep.
And David was out here with Derek but wasn't playing. And they said, no, you got to come back. I mean, I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch those two guys. He said they're playing the first two Pro-Ams and Friday together. And then they'll figure out where it is, obviously, based upon the standings after that. But it's fun to watch that, right? Just to see that element out there in addition to the celebrity and the golf and the backdrop. There's so many great storylines.
Well, you know, there are. And, you know, most of them never get told. I mean, one of the things you got to do one year is go up on the seventh hole. I know you're working, but the seventh hole during the practice rounds, Thursday and Friday, is out of control. But when you talk about the family affair, obviously the Currys are out here.
Yep.
And today I played with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
And on the third hole, his dad shows up. And so Pat joined us, and he finished the last 15 holes with us. So Patrick played with his father, Pat. I will say Patrick's a better golfer, but you can feel the competitive tension. You can see how Pat drove him to be the athlete that he is. But they were out there, father, son, in it all day long. It was really neat to see. And, you know, that's just happened all over the place. And you're right, too, about the families. I've watched these celebrities come out here as single people, get married, have a pregnant wife, and then all the kids are coming out here as well. So it's really an incredible, indelible experience.
Yeah, it is absolutely fantastic. And did you find, playing with Patrick, that it was I heard him described as not a great golfer but a great competitor that takes his golf game up a notch. And I thought that's what it kind of looked like in watching the match with him out there, is he kind of wills the, you know, you can see the swing like, oh, that's not Phil Mickelson's swing. You know, that's not the perfect golfer swing, but he's pretty damn good at playing the game of golf.
So we played a shamble today. So, but I would guess his score today was between 74 and 77, 78 at the highest. So in previous years, I've played with him, and I think he was getting his feet underneath him with football.
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of settling into Kansas City and everything that comes along with that. It is clear to me that he has had time to work on his game this year. And in fact, I would not be surprised. I was just looking at where we flighted him. I think he's going to end up being a really strong competitor because these flights are built off of last year's scores. This is, I'm talking about the ACC Fantasy Golf, by the way, folks on the radio. He's going to end up, I think, probably right. He's in the third flight this year.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking.
And I'm looking who else is in there. I've watched a lot of these guys play. I will be surprised if he doesn't take that third flight.
Okay, and I have on my team, which I got to see. I think I went at your urging, I believe. Let me see if this is where I have him. No, who do I have in there? I was gonna say Nick Jonas. I have Nick Jonas. He must be in the second group. Who do I have? How did I not put Derek Lowe? Maybe
he's a stick. I don't see him in the third group. So,
I have Romo, yep. Anthony Anderson,
good call,
Nick
good
Jonas,
call.
Derek Love, and Brian Urlacher. Who would be in my third group? Joe Buck, Yvonne Rodriguez.
Urlacher. You chose Urlacher over Patrick?
Well, I got time to change. I clicked edit my team.
You have till midnight tonight, actually.
Yeah, is that what it is to go for?
11:59, okay. Yep.
Let's underscore that. ACCFantasyGolf.com, trip for two, all expenses paid, and $10,000 to donate to the charity of your choosing, right? That's what we're playing for.
Actually, it's better than that.
Okay.
So each day there's a trip for two.
Oh, wow.
So what happens?
Because I know we can change our teams each day.
Right. So each day now we have a winner, and they win a trip for two out here, airfare, hotel, et cetera. And then the overall winner for all 3 days gets a trip for two as well, plus $10,000 to donate to direct to their favorite charity. So there's actually four trips for two up for grabs.
Okay.
And one $10,000 to the favorite charity based on the overall score for 3 days. And you're right, you can reconstitute the team each day.
ACCFantasyGolf.com. It can be done in about 2 minutes. It's so simple. Once you put your name in, your email address, and then boom, you pick your group, and it's not many groups. You're off and running, and I'm now making the edit. My inside information that Patrick Mahomes is playing well, and I'm now saving my team. Gone, Brian Urlacher. I'll let you tell him I dropped him, and we'll put Patrick Mahomes in. So now I go Romo, Mahomes, Nick Jonas, Derek Lowe, Anthony Anderson. That's my crew.
So I've seen all of those guys play except Nick, and so I can't really comment on him, but I think you're going to be in the hunt.
But you're the one who told me that he plays golf all the time. That's your intel.
Yes, he has a home in Scottsdale.
Okay.
And during the pandemic, I spent a lot of time out there, and he's on the golf course every day.
Okay.
So if he's not good,
it's not from
it's
trying.
A whole nother story. It's not for lack of effort. That's exactly right.
We're talking to Jonathan Thomas here at the American Century Championships. Of course, the president and CEO of American Century. And you know, American Century, we've talked about it. I think it's an important message to tell what exactly American Century is and what it does and why you're unique in the field that you are in. It's not just investments. American Century, going back to its founders, is a different kind of investment company.
It is. Just like this tournament is a totally – this is the Super Bowl of golf.
Yeah.
There is – of celebrity golf, at least. There's no other tournament like it. And I can actually say the same about American Century Investments. We were founded in 1958 by Jim and Virginia Stowers. Incredibly successful firm. Both of them were afflicted with cancer in the late 90s. And they decided to do something that almost nobody does when they're alive. And they gave away, effectively, the entirety of their wealth, at that point, about $2 billion. And they did it, and they did a tremendous amount of research. They traveled around the world. They looked at the leading medical research organizations and decided, ultimately, instead of working with one of them, they wanted to set one up in Kansas City. They are very dedicated to the city. People said you could never run a world-class asset manager out of Kansas City, and he defied that, and he felt the same way about medicine and scientific research. So he set that up. He gave a few hundred million dollars to convert the old Menorah Hospital into the Stowers Institute, where you have about a staff of 600 people working there today. And in Kansas City, we have over almost 2,000 employees when you count everybody. And about 1,000 in Kansas City. But what we do that's incredibly unique is over 40% of our profits each year through a gift of a stock that Jim made actually directs our dividends to the medical research organization. So every year, no matter which product you buy, 40% of our profits are directed to the Stowers Institute. And to just put some numbers around that, since the year 2000, that's been $1.87 billion we've directed to medical research and to find cures for cancer and other gene-based diseases. It inspires our employees to do extraordinary things every day, and it actually inspires our clients. They get incredibly inspired knowing that by working with American Century, whether it's a sovereign wealth fund, a corporation for a 401k, or even an individual saving for retirement or home, knowing that they're having a positive impact on society is a big deal. And it's the market's really come to us on that. We're super proud of that as employees.
It's as you should be, and it's an incredible accomplishment for the company. And, you know, I know, like, the ESPYs are coming up, and we have our honorary ESPYs in Kansas City that we're very happy to be a part of. And the Jim Valvano speech at the ESPYs was a very powerful, moving one, and has done wonders for their ability to raise money. And I find it, like, I think people would be stunned to know, I mean, $1.87 billion. I mean, then that's a great story. I'm not trying to take away from the ESPYs of it, but, like, do you feel like sometimes your story doesn't get told enough?
We do, you know.
I mean, it's kind of a balancing act. Like, you don't want to go out there and brag and be like, hey, look at me. I understand that there's, like, a sense of there's the, you know, I don't know because I've never given $1.87 billion.
Right, yeah.
But there's a balancing act of, like, listen, we want people to know that this is what we do. And if they're investing in us, this is, the, you know, part of the profits are going to it. But we don't want to, you know, be in somebody's face about it? Is it a difficult balancing act? Because I think it's very underrated what you do. I don't think it's known the way it should be known.
Yeah, it's those who know it, I think, hold it in very high regard, but it is not a well-known story. And interestingly enough, Jim, our founder, passed away in 2013, I think it was. But every 2 years before that, Fortune magazine used to publish the world's greatest philanthropers. And if you went down that list, you'd see Gates and Buffett and Soros and everybody else, Ted Turner. There was one name on that list of the top 10 that nobody in the country knew, and it was Jim. And he was usually right between Ted Turner and Michael Bloomberg in terms of the world's largest givers. And, you know, there was a humility and a humbleness about what he did that, you know, we're being a little bit more vocal than he was. What he did was so pioneering and so ahead of its time. Now the world is looking for people to have a positive impact on society. So we are out telling the story. I love the opportunity to get on your radio and tell the story. And we are telling the athletes, too, and many of them are inspired. But it is under-communicated, but it's deeply appreciated by those who understand it.
Yeah, and you know, that's what, and I go back to the Jim Valvano speech, we need money for research, and that's exactly what American Century is providing. That's, you know, unfortunately, all that time in the lab and, you know, doing testing and running all that, it's not cheap, right? It's not people looking under, you know, you're not looking for your car keys.
No,
right?
No.
It's scientific. It's literally splitting atoms. You
yes.
know, I mean, it's that kind of difficult work, and it's an expensive endeavor. And so it's very important work that's being done by American Century. And I applaud you guys. It's fantastic. And I think the message should be out there more. So
yeah.
Anything we can do, we're certainly happy to help.
Well, I appreciate it. And our employees, they're probably our greatest advocates and ambassadors. They tell the story. And globally, you know, it's funny. I mean, the thing that's not well understood about many about Kansas American Century within Kansas City, we are a global firm.
Right.
And our story, ironically, is probably more well understood. We do business in 31 countries today. It's probably more well understood outside of the country than it is internally. And the reason I say that is when we started going outside the U.S. in like 2007 or 2008, we went over there with that identity. But from 1958 to the late 90s, for 40 years, that wasn't our identity because Jim hadn't done that yet. And so it's actually trying to change perceptions about what we were and who we are. And, perspectives catching up to reality.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing to see what $1.87 billion raised, and the Stowers Institute, just an incredible facility there and doing so much work. And, you know, I know Adam Dravetta, who works with us, he has actually battled cancer at a young age. And I don't know that anybody doesn't know somebody within one reach, right? You don't have to play 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You're 1 degree away. Everybody's been touched by it, and it's such an important cause. And nice to know that, you know, there's this kind of effort being made. Have you noticed, have you inspired any other companies to like get behind what you guys are doing? Or do you remain a lone wolf?
Well, to tell you the truth, people are inspired by this every single day. Just two nights ago, a gentleman came up to us, so moved by the story, and donated $1 million right here on site to the Stowers Institute because of the power of the story.
Wow.
And so that inspired somebody to support it. And then what you talked about is, you know, are other people doing the same thing? And I think what you see in society today is they call it ESG investing or impact investing. ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And increasingly, the world's most sophisticated investors are looking to place their dollars with firms who are having a positive impact on society. So, yes, the asset allocators or the asset owners, as we call them, you know, sovereign wealth funds, corporations, even individuals, they are now discriminating about which firms are making a difference with their business models and which ones are not. So it is absolutely something, and hundreds of billions of dollars have moved into impact investments over the last few years. It's a growing space in the industry.
And that's giant. That's how we get answers, right? That's how we get to solutions on the problems that we have is doing those things.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. So have you met anybody fun out here? Who's your favorite guy?
Listen, I'll tell you what, I was blown away by David Carr.
Yeah.
Right. I've always thought he was a good analyst, and you know, he's Derek Carr's brother, of course, Raiders quarterback. So,
right.
And he in this past year, he was, you know, he picked Derek Carr as the best quarterback in the AFC West, and Waller as the best tight end in the AFC West, and we were joking about that. And he's like, "Well, what am I going to do? It's family." So I'll analyze the other, 31 teams fine, but on this one, you know what it is. And he was great. I mean, just, talking, analyzing football, but telling stories about Derek and him growing up, and I asked him about, does Derek. I don't know if you saw Hard Knocks when the Raiders were on it, but he had the shiny arms. He's lifted some weights and was quite proud of him. He's like, "No, that's just sunscreen." I go, "Come on, that's not sunscreen." He goes, "Oh God, no, that's not sunscreen." He said, "We were just doing a thing up here at NFL Network." And he was like, "Wait a minute, can you get the right pose?" And he was flexing and everything. He was a lot of fun. Yvonne Rodriguez, I loved him. I told him, I said, "You're the first guy that played professional sports that was younger than me." Right? Like, he was the first guy to make me feel old, and I was 19.
Oh, that's really fascinating. Yeah. I don't know if I ever connected those
guys. There were three guys, like, when I was a freshman in high school. I guess I would have been a sophomore. So sophomore in high school, Emmett Smith was a freshman at Florida and playing great football. And I said, "Wow, he's going to be in college when I'm in college." That made me realize I'm – becoming a young man here, like, it's time to wake up. Yep. And then when Yvonne Rodriguez was in the big leagues and I'm in college, being a putz, and I'm like, "This guy's already in the big leagues. I gotta get to work here." It was a wake up call, and it was fun to get to, to be able to tell him that,
It's funny you should say that. So many of the folks here, I always thought were older than me, because when I was a kid, not accomplishing much.
Right.
They were national heroes.
Yeah.
Right? Changing the world, redefining their sport, breaking records. And I actually just took notice of it this year for the first time. I'm talking to Vinny Del Negro the other night, and he's, 4 years younger than me. And I remember, just because, you're watching him on TV play basketball, you just think that they're older. But it's really remarkable how that affects the psyche. When you see people on TV, when you're at the same age, you think they're much older than they actually are.
Yeah. Has there been any of the new folks that you've had a chance to meet that kind of blown you away?
Gosh, I will tell you, Colin Jost has been unbelievable.
Okay.
Have you had time with him?
I have not, and he's one of the guys I'd really like to talk to. I'll tell you a story, though. I can tell it to you here.
Yep.
For everybody back in Kansas City, yes, fine, humble brag. I'm in the elevator in the hotel yesterday, and on the elevator was Rascal Flatts.
Jerry DeMarcus.
Jerry DeMarcus and Miles Teller.
Yep.
And Miles Teller says, and there were some other guys that I maybe he had played with that day in the Pro-Am or something. I did not recognize them. I apologize if they were a celebrity and I didn't. But he says, "Anybody know if Jost is a stick?" and somebody goes, "Nah, I don't think so." And he goes, "Well, good. Actors, comedians, we don't have time to be good at golf." And DeMarcus said, "Yeah, or musicians." Right. And just to hear that exchange, and I had my back to him. I was in front, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just kind of laughing at, like, the exchange that's going on. And then I come out here, and somebody goes, "Oh, no, Jost can play. Jost can golf." So which is it? Is he a ringer, or is he being overrated by somebody?
I met him at an event, and I didn't get to see him play.
Okay.
But based on the people who did play with him, says he's very impressive.
Okay.
So many of these people are just gifted. One of the things I recommended you do last year or the year before, we didn't do it last couple of years.
Yeah.
Tonight is the best night of all.
Right.
I don't know what you have planned. I know you're off the radio.
And karaoke.
I want you to go to karaoke. I just pulled up the list of people who've signed up already to play.
Who's going to play?
So I've got Alfonso Ribeiro, who is an amazing entertainer.
Right.
Tim Wakefield is going to sing.
Love Tim Wakefield.
Kelsey.
Yep.
What did he tell me he's going to sing? Pride and Joy.
Okay.
And he's been humming it and singing it all for the last 2 days. Jack Wagner. It's amazing for him. Been through a very tragic situation with the loss of his son.
Yes.
Really impressed he's here. We recognized him last night at the players meeting. He had a standing ovation, probably a 3-minute standing ovation. He and Jim McMahon, actually, is a funny story. Those are the two people that have been here the longest. They haven't missed either one. Neither of them want to be the first one to miss. Jim's foot. Have you heard about Jim's foot?
No. Well, he used to come out here, and I think probably still doesn't play barefoot.
I'm going to show you something in a second. You can relay this to the listeners. They'll love it. But Jack Wagner, Brett Baer will rock it tonight. Larry the Cable Guy, Dylan Dreyer, Rob Riggle is going to perform, and he's going to MC the event.
Okay.
David Wells, Marcus Allen, and John O'Hurley. So a quick story about Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon texts me about 2 months ago, and he says, hey, JT, can I play with somebody slow? And I said, yeah, that's sure. Why do you want to play with somebody slow? And he said, I haven't played golf recently. And I said, you haven't played?
Oh, my God.
And I said, you haven't played golf? And he says, no. And I said, well, why haven't you played golf? And he texted me that picture, Soren.
That looks like it's from a horror film and a makeup studio did it. He's missing a chunk of his ankle.
And the rest of his foot is black. So he was not going to miss this event. That's his foot 60 days ago, Soren. All right? And he said, there's no way I'm going to miss. I said, Jim, you should not be out here golfing, okay, my friend? That is unbelievable. And he's here. And for the first time ever, we're going to allow somebody to take a cart.
Okay.
Only because he's been here for all 33 years.
Right.
And if he showed up with this.
Yeah.
And was willing to play.
Yeah.
We're going to let him take a cart.
Yeah. That's going above and beyond the commitment to the tournament. That is unbelievable. Listen, it's way bigger than a silver dollar. It's just like a chunk is out of his ankle. Like what happened?
And then the whole bottom of his foot is black. It looks like it's a bad case of frostbite.
Okay.
He says that he had some sort of surgery.
Oh, and there was a...
And there was a staph infection.
Yeah.
And that staph infection just got really bad. And they thought they were going to actually amputate his foot. I mean...
Oh, my Lord.
Take one more look at that.
God.
Yeah, I wish there was a way. I'll text it to you.
Yeah, you text it to me and we'll tweet it.
Okay.
If that's okay.
I'm going to ask Jim.
Okay. Oh, yeah, ask him and then let us know and then we'll tweet it out.
Yeah, and you have to put a warning with that.
Yeah,
if you
warning. You know, if you're, I'll send one tweet saying, warning, something squeamish coming. Yeah. And then I'll send the real one. You know, he and Alex Smith should be partnered.
I know.
And they can talk about who's had the more gruesome injury. You know?
I know. It's unbelievable. And Alex, I mean, they don't get any better than that in terms of a good person.
No, they don't.
You know, he's gone through a difficult time too with his daughter.
Yes, and we're all thinking of him and his family, and absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So
yeah, I mean, he's such a great guy. It just breaks my heart to see that. Yeah. But he's always got his chin up and has a positive attitude.
Yeah, we'll be rooting for him. All of Kansas City will, and all of Kansas City appreciates everything American Century does, this tournament, but everything back home. The Stowers Institute is great. Jonathan, thanks for taking a couple of minutes. I know you're busy, got lots of people to talk to. So thanks for talking to us, and thanks for having us out here, man. It doesn't get any better than this.
Hey, I think you know this. You were the only. We got rid of all the other radio stations. You guys have exclusive access this year. You should have the pick of the litter in terms of who you want to interview. And we're thrilled to have you here. And thanks for telling our story.
Absolutely. It's the best. Jonathan Thomas from American Century. We'll take a break. More here in the program from Lake Tahoe.
All right, who was the last men's player to advance to a Grand Slam final in a walkover? Brought to you by Good Sense.